So we're going to finish up the sermon series on purpose, and I'm going to leave you with three points of application. So we've talked about general ideas in theology that the Bible presents in purpose. We've talked about what is the purpose. We've talked about some building blocks that you have to have. We've talked about the ability to hear how God speaks to us, to have your burning bush moment to where God speaks to you and you completely understand. And then today we're going to walk away with three aspects of application that you can take this and you can apply it to your life once you understand, once you come to accept what God's purpose in your life is. And then you can take these three points of application and you can go forward and serve and be a steward and disciple. Okay? So that's where we're going to move forward to. And the first part today that we need to talk about, the first point of application, is service. And if you understand one thing, is that our service comes from love. And I hope that we've laid the groundwork, that building block has to be there, has to be set firm in your foundation, that all things, our theology, our works, our beliefs, grace, forgiveness, it all is built upon the foundation of love, because God is love. And without truly understanding that God is love, then we can never appropriately approach anything that the Bible has for us to do, because God is love. And we show others that we belong to God by how we love them. And that is the mark, that is the seal that Jesus Christ places on us that separates us from everyone else, is that it is our ability to love. And when we look at the Christian church, I hope we walk away with the understanding that we are a people who show love when there is no love to be shown. We show forgiveness when there's no reason to forgive. We show all the things that we as humans are incapable of showing, but it's because of who lives in us. And it is the God who is love. And understand that our salvation, the reason why he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross, and understand that completely, that he sent Christ to die for you and me. He sent him on that mission to die, to humble himself to die. He sent him to the cross. He did it because of love. And we know that Jesus Christ laid his life down. It was not taken. He laid down his life for you and me, all because of his love for us. And when we say God is love, that is what we are coming to understand, is that everything that the Bible lays out, Calvary, the resurrection, it all is built upon love. And so the first point of application is service, is that we are created to serve. So the first thing that we need to do to understand is that if we're truly going to possess our purpose, the first thing that you need to do is reach out and grab a towel. Because we need to walk in step with Jesus Christ. And I need you to read the scripture that we talk about in this part. I really need you to grasp it. And at the very beginning, because it says right there that Jesus Christ knew that God the Father had placed all things into his hands. And you think about all power, everything being placed into his hands and all that he could do at that moment. When all things were placed into his hands, and what does he do? It says that he had come from God and was going back to God, that he rose from the table after the dinner was served, and that he took his garments and he girded himself the way that a slave, a servant, robes themselves. It says that he took a towel, he girded himself, and then he took water, prepared the water into a basin, and then he went around and he washed the dirty feet of his disciples, his followers. He didn't say, wash my feet. He didn't say a word. He stood up. And that, understand here that Jesus Christ is preaching an amazing sermon that we still can't completely wrap our minds around thousands of years later. He's preaching a sermon without ever saying a word. And he's doing it by the very act of serving with love. And he's serving those who are actually below him. And it is a sign that he is son, God the Son, and yet he took his place with each and every one of us to become a man. And then he did the ultimate act of love, and he gave his life for you and me. And this is perfectly resembled in his washing the disciples' feet. So understand that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, his whole purpose was built on service. And we see here that even his miracles, even the divine miracles that he performed here on earth, were service to God the Father. So you see that even when he is acting in an amazing way and bringing people back to life and healing people, that is all in the process of him serving. So you never see Jesus Christ doing anything where service is void. So you see him always acting. He's always submitting to the will of God the Father. And the way that he submits is that he serves. And understand that because he is God, he is serving from love. And it says there that when he walked up to the tomb of Lazarus, he asked for them to take the stone away. And he could have called out in a mighty voice at that very point right there, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus would have come forth. And there would have been great glory that happened, and we would still be talking about the scene at Bethany today. But that's not the way that Jesus Christ served God. The way that Jesus Christ served God is that he took a moment before he did his miracle, and he prayed in an outward voice. And he says, "Dear Lord, I thank you for always hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but the reason why I'm saying this prayer today is that those who can hear my voice know that I'm here on your behalf." So Jesus Christ, in the midst of a miracle, is serving and glorifying God. So that every time that we step out to serve, our mission is to glorify God and to do it in love, because God is love. And how do we glorify God? By the way that we love others. And Jesus served God completely. He withheld nothing back in his attempt to serve. He served him perfectly, and he served him completely. And you say, "Well, how did that happen?" It says that Jesus spoke these words. He prayed to God the Father, "The hour has now come. The whole reason why you sent me down here was to die on the cross. And the time has come where I turn towards the cross and I begin to walk up the hill of Calvary and place my body on the cross to die for those that you sent me to die for." And it says there that the hour has come, and he is, and we talked about last week about how when you glorify God through your living and your serving, that you are glorified, because God uses broken instruments to glorify and to work through you. So he doesn't leave you down in the muck and the mire, but he glorifies you by working through you. And when we do it appropriately, God is glorified through our service and our love. And that's what he's saying here, is glorify your Son. How is Jesus Christ going to be glorified? By giving his life up on the cross. Isn't that an amazing statement? That is the fulfillment of his glory, that he would die on the cross so that he could rise on the third day, all to glorify God. And it says that your Son may be glorified and glorify you as you have given him authority. Again, all authority is given to him. And yet he is going to willingly give his life up, because that is what he's sent to do. And it's not that he has the power and now it's time to flex the power. Now he has all things given to him. And what is he going to do? Completely and perfectly serve. Isn't that an amazing statement? And it says there that he came to give his life so that everyone else could have eternal life. And eternal life is this, that you know the one true God in Jesus Christ, who was sent by the one true God to die on the cross. And let me say this, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ's sacrifice at Calvary, then I need you today to not wait. At any time during this service, come up and make the best decision that you will ever make. And then it says there that I have finished the work that you have given me to do. Now, this is kind of an amazing statement here, and I need you to just bear with me just for a second as I give you the biblical implications of what is being stated and written here and how it's being applied through the Bible. Okay, so here's the thing. He's saying this. He is not yet crucified. All right, he's saying this, and yet he's saying that I have finished the work. Okay, Now, he's saying that in past terms before he's done the deed. Now that doesn't add up grammatically, right? Okay? So why is he saying it in past terms when he hasn't actually done the deed? Well, there's a part in the Bible there when we talk about and we raise up Abraham for being righteous. And the reason why he was righteous is when God came to him and said, that son that I promised you, that took so many years to get here, that I said that you would be blessed, that you'd make a nation through this one son, and everybody would be blessed through this one son, okay? Before he becomes a man and before he can have offspring, I need you to go sacrifice him. And that doesn't make sense. In fact, Abraham's family was set apart because they didn't believe in infant sacrifice. They set themselves apart by not going into the cultural norms of the day. So he was blessed because he didn't abide by those cultural norms. And then he was blessed with this son who was all people were going to be blessed. And then God comes to him and say, hey, I want you to sacrifice this son. And he's like, well, that's the reason why you set me apart. So there's all this turmoil going on that we could bring out. But then the Bible says that he was righteous. And the reason why he was righteous is that in Hebrews 13, it talks about Abraham. As he begins that trek up the mountain to sacrifice his son, it says that he, in his mind, had already sacrificed Isaac. Isaac was already sacrificed before they ever took one step up the hill, because he had decided in his heart that God had asked him to be obedient, and he had already confirmed it in his heart, his mind, and soul that he would go through and obey God, serve God. So now we have a father who has his son in his mind already dead. And it says there that the reason why he could walk up that hill is because he believed that God had the power to give his son back to him. Now, those are past terms before the deed was ever even attempted. And it's the same thing here with Jesus Christ, is that Jesus Christ is talking in past terms because he's already decided, you sent me here, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve you perfectly and completely. And I need you to think about when God presents things in front of you and says, here's an opportunity for you to do some great big things. Okay? Sometimes they don't add up logically. And you look at them and say, well, that doesn't make sense, you know. But life, a Christian life, is not always about pros and cons. And then you write them down and say, which one has the most? We'll go that way. That's not what this is all about. This is about taking a step out in faith when God presents you with opportunities to serve. And what we need to do is to become people who, when God presents us with opportunities to serve, before we ever take that step to actually step out and serve, we have it in our mind to where we're talking about it in past tense, because that's how completely devoted to service and obedience to God that we are. That's biblical. And when you have that kind of faith and that kind of determination, you become biblically sound. In the purpose of the purpose that you're going to get is service. So you can't escape service because it's the purpose of the purpose. You got that? It says that whoever desires to come to me first must become a slave, because your life, if you're going to become a Christian, is going to be about service, because God is love. The way that he serves is through our love. And if we're going to serve a people appropriately, we're going to have to do it completely the way that God asks us to do it, in a way that before we ever take the step out, we speak of it in past terms. That's how devoted we are to being obedient and to completely and perfectly serving God's will for us. And it says that's the way Jesus Christ did it. He himself did not even come to be served, but to serve and serve in the ultimate gift of his life for each and every one of us. The purpose of the purpose is to serve, because the purpose of Jesus' purpose was to serve, ultimately serve to give his life. That is what our service is built upon. So the purpose of your purpose, regardless of what your purpose is going to be, that purpose is built upon the purpose of service. That makes sense? I'm kind of confused myself here for a second now. Okay? So the next one is stewardship. Now that you understand what, regardless of what your purpose is, you understand what it's going to be about? Or do we need to go back and review? Service, right? It's all built on service, okay? That was a little bit of a joke there, so, okay. So service, and now the appropriate attitude that we have to take while we are serving is to be a steward. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 4 that the ultimate layer of spiritual maturity is to become a true steward. And what this means is that when you become mature in your Christian life, your life will reflect that because you are able to serve in love. And the way that we do that is that we are people who are blessed. We identify that we are blessed as God pours into us. And then we are capable of not hoarding up the manna that God pours into our lives and letting it just rot all amongst us. But we take that blessing that God pours into our lives and then we use it to bless others. And when we do that, we become the hands and feet of Jesus Christ because people identified Jesus differently because he served in complete perfect love. And if we can serve in complete perfect love, then we will be identified as a steward of the mysteries that the world looks at the Bibles and say, I don't understand what's going on there. I don't know how you can love people who don't love you back. I don't understand how you can forgive people who will never ask you to forgive them. I don't know how you can act that way. That's called the mysteries of the Bible. We understand that because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And when you're a mature Christian, you have the Holy Spirit living inside you at a layer that you can turn blessings in your life around to bless others, then God is truly and perfectly glorified as we serve in love. And it says there that we have to have first a proper perspective about what truly is stewardship. Okay? And here's what I need you to have, this mindset. Now, we talk about mindset a lot, right? But I need you to have a mindset of stewardship. And this is what I mean by that. Because it says that for everyone to whom much is given, as we're blessed, okay, as God pours into you, then there's going to be a lot required of you. We just hit that point. So as God pours into you, you're going to have to pour out to others and serve and let God be glorified through your serving. Okay? So there's that. All right, but here's what we have to also understand is that when you are giving a purpose, when you're given a mission in your life, that is a mission that is just for you. Now, it may resemble and reflect someone else's purpose and mission, but it is a true tailor-made mission for you. And when you get a mission that was tailor-made, handmade by God and delivered to you and said, here is your purpose, here is your mission, then there's going to be a lot required of you. For instance, you're going to have to love the unlovable, serve people that you don't agree with, forgive people who will hurt you again and again and again and will never ask for your forgiveness. You're going to have to be different. And here's the other thing, is that you're going to have a different kind of mindset about the blessings that God pours into you in order for you to allow yourself to bless others as Jesus Christ lives through you. Okay? Now, here's what I mean by that. You're not yours. If you're a child of God, changed, regenerated, made sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice at Calvary, you don't belong to you. You are no longer yours. You have been bought. You have been freed from slavery. You have freedom that no one else ever can experience. You have been bought, and you're bought with the most precious thing to ever come to this earth. That is the blood of Jesus Christ. You're not yours anymore. If you're changed and regenerated, put in a spirit of the Holy Spirit inside of you, you are changed. You are not your own. You are bought. You belong to Jesus Christ. The Bible says that. Okay? So we no longer give ourselves to the temptations and all the things of this world, and we don't even have decisions to make about us. Now we have a different kind of mindset because we've been changed, and we are stewards, okay? So this life is no longer yours, but you're living your life to glorify God. So this life is now belongs to God. And when you make a decision about how you raise kids, what's going on in your marriage, what your job should be, where you should go, okay, all that kind of stuff, how we should pray, do all this kind of stuff, when we come and we are confronted with these kind of decisions, then we have to lift all that up and say, dear God, here's my life. Tell me what to do. Point me in the right direction. And we are changed. That means that we have the kind of courage and the determination and perseverance that comes through Jesus Christ living through us to where we can actually go out and do it. So your life is not yours, okay? That's the first thing that's going to be asked of you is your life. That's why Jesus says if you try to save your life, hold on to what you want, what is going on inside of you, say, well, this is what I've always wanted, and I'm going to hang on to that, okay? Then you're going to lose the very thing that God has handmade and tailor-made for you. Okay? So there's going to be a lot asked of you. First thing asked of you is your life. Second is all your possessions, all the things that we work so hard and we live so hard to gather and get in this life, none of it belongs to us. No amens on that, huh? Okay? That's a tough one, isn't it? Everything you have is a gift from God. Okay? Your job is a blessing from God. I remember one time my grandfather, who worked as a janitor and all, you know, manual labor his entire life. He couldn't hardly walk when he was done because he had worked himself to death. And I remember him asking me about my job, and I said, well, I don't know if I really liked it. And I never forget the look on his face. He said, it's a job, not a hobby. Okay? You know what else he told me? When you look for a wife, don't just get a looker, get a cooker. Okay? All right? Wise man. That is a wise man. Okay? I'm happy to say I got both. All right? But that's what he's... I just never will forget the look on his face. It's like it didn't absorb it. It just didn't calculate with him. It's a job. And then he told me, you need to thank the good Lord that you have a job. Okay? And I think so many times that we end up hating our jobs, hating our bosses and our coworkers, when we should be thankful that we have the ability to go out and make a living. Okay? That we have people who we can work and witness to. And that we have someone who we can go to for guidance. Okay? If they're not the perfect person, what's the Bible say? Pray for them anyways. That's what it says, okay? For our leaders, you don't agree with our political leaders? Pray for them. This world may be falling apart because Christians don't really pray anymore for our leaders. We pray for the ones we like and agree with. Let's just be honest, okay? We need to pray for all of them. All of them, okay? Might see a difference in this world. So it says that every good gift, every perfect gift in this world comes from God the Father. So now that we're changed, now that we are Christians, and now that we're reaching that maturity level, and now we're grasping our purpose, you need to have the mindset and the perspective to understand that all the things in your life are gifts from God. You're just a steward. You're just a steward to use them so that you can turn them around to bless others with the things God puts in your life. If you hoard them up, what happened when the manna was stored up? It stinketh, right? That's what it says in the New King James. It began to stink. That's like three levels above stink. That's like 10-year-old little boy socks, okay, after playing all day. This is how far this idea is going to be asked of you. This is how far it extends. Even your children are not yours. That's tough to take. But you need to understand that everything you have and you are, is God's. You're just a steward. You're here to take care of it for God. He's blessed you with some amazing things. And your kids are in that category. And these kids belong to God. You know what God says? If you do something to hurt a little kid and to damage their mindset and to scar them, then it's better for you to tie an anchor around your neck and jump in the water. That's how serious he takes this. I think sometimes we can. I'm guilty of this too. After a long day, I just want to cash out and say, I'm tired. Feed yourselves. You know, go into the kitchen. It's like Thunderdome in there. You know, like everybody's struggling. Okay? I get it. But even our children don't belong to us. That's how much God's asking of you. So now when you read that verse, that to whom much is given, much is required. You know what the much is required is really saying? I want it all back. Not because I need it, but because you can't serve two masters. And if you are serving the things you have and you're worshiping your children, we worship our children sometimes. They become the most important thing in our lives. Okay? We get so out of whack. Destroys our marriages, destroys our relationship with Jesus, everything. Okay? When we get it all out of whack, and we get all this misguided, then things start to fall apart. And so when he says too much is given, we want a lot given to us. We pray a lot. Give me this, give me that, okay? And when you get it, just understand that he's going to require a lot from you. That means that everything he gives you, you're going to have to turn it around so you can bless others and that he can be glorified through your blood. And this is identified perfectly with Jesus Christ. At the point when even his life was being asked from him, he was able to go to the garden and pray, not my will, but your will. And here's the bottom line. Your will doesn't belong to you. Your will is God's will. And when you truly get all the stuff in perfect perspective, then you can kneel down and truly pray, not my will, but your will. That's a lot to ask, right? But let's come to know we've been truly blessed, so there's a lot that's required of us. Final part, discipleship. We're in the business of making disciples. Okay? Jesus Christ was sent to make disciples. He was sent with a purpose. The Holy Spirit, we talked about that last week, is sent with a purpose. He's sent into our hearts to live there. God sends. Okay? That's what he does. If you read the Bible, God sends. God takes people and he prepares them. And your preparation is to be sent. Now, what is it that you're being sent to do? That's what we talked about last week. You have your burning bush moment with God and understand this is your purpose. This is what I'm sending you to do. But he will send you. Okay? He will send you and he's going to ask of you. And just like Jesus Christ, he was sent into this world, okay? And he was sent there to save people. And now that Jesus Christ has saved us, now he's asking us to go out. And we have here, our work here is the very continuation of Jesus. It's the Great Commission. And Jesus Christ, at the end of his life here on earth, before he ascends into heaven, he says, my work here in the flesh is done. And now I'm sending the Spirit to live in each and every one of you. And I need you to go out and make disciples. It says, go out and again, there's that part there. All authority has been given to me. And when all authority was given to God, or God the Son, what's he do? He sends people out. He gives people their commission. Here's what your job is to do. Now, here's the overall understanding here. You're going to get a specific, handmade, tailor-made purpose just for you. You may already know what it is. Okay, but here's what it is. It's to go out and to make disciples. It is all found under the collective umbrella of the Great Commission. Okay, so there's no one who is out here like, well, my purpose is totally different. I'm not built to make disciples. That's not what my purpose is. You're wrong. If you're telling yourself that, you're wrong. That's not biblical. And it's my job as your pastor and someone who loves you to tell you that. If that's your thinking, you're wrong. Okay, so your purpose, regardless of what your purpose is to go out and make disciples. You know how I know that? Because that's the Great Commission from Jesus Christ himself. He's saying, I need you to continue the work that was started here with the act of crucifixion, salvation, atonement, grace, and we need to continue that work. My work in the flesh is here. I send the Holy Spirit to guide and edify and live through you so that God the Father, God the Son can live in you as well, and I need you to go out and make disciples. That's what he tells men. Go to all parts of the world, okay? No one is excluded from this. There's no special sect, no special chosen. All men who believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross will receive eternal life. That's what the Bible tells us, okay? So there's nothing special here on either side of the coin. So though everyone has the opportunity and should be preached to and preached to become a disciple, and then all of us are sent out to make people disciples. It's your purpose and your method that God gives you that is different. But we're all designed to make disciples. And then when we do this and when we accept this in the perfect way, then we become, and you realize that very weapon in the Bible is the Word of God. And when we truly live our designed purpose for each and every one of us, and we have the mindset that we're here to glorify God through our living, through all of our possessions. Even our children don't belong to us. They are God's properties, and it is our job to glorify God through our raising of children. When we come with the right kind of mindset and we understand what our overall purpose is, to go out and make disciples so that they can go out and make disciples so that they can go out and make disciples, then once we truly understand that and once we truly accept what our purpose is, then we become a weapon of God, a very weapon of God. And it says, don't let sin reign in your mortal bodies. And I love the way that says this. Okay? And do not present your members. What's your members? That's your purpose. That's your soul. That's your will. And when our will is our will, then we give in to the lust of this life. But when our will is equivalent to God's will, and we accept God's will instead of our will, then we become weapons of righteousness to where we can go out and make a difference. And it says, don't become instruments of unrighteousness. But present your bodies. We talked about that. You are to present your body each and every day as a living sacrifice. And what's that mean? You're sacrificing your life, your will, so that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and you can go out and live God's will. And this is my point in the sermon where I tell you what your job is each and every day as a Christian. Before your feet ever hit the floor, what do you do? Pray the prayer of emptying. Have the Holy Spirit remove you of you, all your members, so that you don't become weapons of unrighteousness with selfish will and all of our lusts and all that stuff going on, all of our greed and anger and unforgiveness. We become empty vessels so that now we can pray, please fill me with your Holy Spirit, or just take over, completely fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can become a weapon of righteousness. Because without this, there is no meaning in life. That's not Aaron Phelps' verdict and determination. That's the Bible's. The jury is no longer out. It has come in, and the verdict is that if you're not living God's purpose for you, then you don't truly understand what life's all about. And that's the very title of this sermon series, Purpose. It's what life's all about. And if you don't know your God-designed purpose and you haven't accepted your God-designed purpose with all the appropriate things that go along with that, then you have truly never lived and you don't really know what this life is about. You may have a bunch of special stuff. You may have a bunch of special collectives and all this stuff, and you could travel and do all that, but I promise you that you'll never truly know what God had designed for you until you understand what your true meaning in this life is, and that is to serve God. Reach out, grab your purpose, and do it with the biblical principles that we talked about in this series. Okay? Read a story about an old man. He was at the end of his life, and he had kind of gone in. He was just dealing with cancer, and it had metastasized in the different parts of his body. And he had gone into like a coma where he was, or in and out of a coma, and he would have these moments where he would talk and stuff, and they were giving him just days and hours to live, and his family was there around him, and he had been a missionary, and in his lifetime he had started over 150 churches over his life period, different countries, different cities, and just continually sent out, and he gave up that steady life of living in one town and one house so that he could fulfill what God had planned in his life, to go out and start 150 churches and to make an impact in communities where they didn't have a church and where the Word of God wasn't preached. And that's what he signed up for, and that's what he understood. And in the moments in that coma when he would come out and he would talk, and they didn't think that he was himself, but his son was also a preacher, and he preaches at a mega church now, okay? Think about that, the difference there. And the father, at one point, eaten up with cancer on death's very doorstep, he's there, and he's trying to get up. And they were trying to talk to him, like, do you need to use the bathroom? Are you hurting? And they were trying to ask him something. And he said that he had a moment where he's very lucid, and he looked in his son's eyes. I want you to understand this. Here he is, dying. Didn't have the strength to feed himself. Most days didn't have the strength to swallow. And he's dying there. And he's trying to get up, and they're trying to comfort him, ask him if he needs to use the bathroom. What's going on, Dad? He looks at his son's eyes. And he says, just one more church. Just one more church. Even in the moments of his death, he still understood and bought into what his purpose was. And he lived a life to where he couldn't pull the reins back anymore, because the Lord had filled him with such hope and glory and grace. And even when he could no longer swallow on his own, he still wanted to go out and do just one more church. It's amazing what happens when you truly grasp what God has designed in this world for you to do. It's truly amazing. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. We've talked about a lot of things here, but here's the bottom line, is that you were handcrafted, hand-designed by God to go out and do something in this world. And ask yourself this morning, am I doing what God designed me to do? Or am I living all about Aaron? Is this world all about Aaron and what Aaron wants? Or put your name in the comments, okay? And is this truly what I was designed to do? Or am I living a life in vain, chasing a dream that's not really designed for me? Because if you get a dream, if you achieve a dream that's not really designed for you, you won't be happy about it. I promise you that. But if you get built into that purpose that was designed for you, boy, you'll find contentment that you can't find in any other way. So I'm going to open up the altars to you this morning. And I know that we come for a lot of reasons. I know there's some people dealing with some pretty heavy things here today. If you got something pretty heavy on your mind, come up. Let's pray about it. If you've had a big victory this week, let's come up and celebrate. If you want to pray about making sure that you understand what God's purpose in your life is, come up, let's pray about it. And if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't wait another single second. Come up and let's make the best decision you ever make. I'll open up the altars to you.